once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host, Trilisty Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, poet Marion Fusel. Each week at this time, we visit with authors, editors, or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives. We ask them what prompts them to write, and we give them an opportunity to read their work for us. Today, as part of April's Poetry Month, we have poet Marion Fusel with us. Welcome, Marion.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Marion describes herself as a late bloomer. She never really thought about school beyond grade 12. However, as she grew into her skin, she decided to go back. She graduated with honors from Seneca College in her 30s, studying part-time while raising three children. She found she had a vocation to work with young children and was most interested in the Montessori method. So she researched and then pursued this, obtaining her Montessori qualifications and entering a very satisfying career. But after retirement from teaching in the Montessori CASA class, Marion and her husband decided to move to Coburg for its beautiful surroundings, its harbor, and friendly people. She had always wanted to write children's stories and had written a few, but became attracted to poetry. She joined the Coburg Poetry Workshop about 3 years ago and has been learning and writing poetry ever since. So, Marion, you say you were a late bloomer. Is this because you didn't realize what your talents were until you went back to school? And what did you in fact study at college?
I had no confidence in my abilities in any area and really didn't know who I was as a person. There was a lot of friction between my mother and myself, a lot of criticism that just sank in, and I internalized that until I left home and I realized that I could do more. I got married, I had three children. Once I started being a mother, I realized that, you know, there's a lot of skill there and that I had more skill than I thought. My daughter had some issues in grade two. She was starting to fail, which I couldn't understand because I read to my children all the time and they seemed to pick it up. I was an avid reader as a child. That books were my special refuge. So I went into the school and I found out that they were doing a new method. They've left out the phonics and they've only done terms and memorizing. And so I spoke to the principal and said, really, not all children learn this way. And obviously my daughter's not one. There were five other children in the classroom who were also failing, which for grade two, I thought unusual. So the principal agreed, the teacher agreed, that they would include the phonics again into the curriculum alongside with the memorization. And I was volunteering in the classroom and took all six children and taught phonics. And I'd never been a teacher before, but I found that at the end of the year, all of those children did well. And I thought, wow, I could actually get paid for this, you know. So I decided I would go back to school, and I applied to Seneca College for their early childhood education. And I worked in that field for several years and found it a little bit dissatisfying. I didn't find that we were doing enough teaching, which I wanted to do. And I always thought children are a lot brighter than what people give them credit for. And I guess because I never got credit for it myself, I felt there has to be a better way. And someone suggested to me, why don't you look into Montessori? So I did that. I researched it. I applied. I took the course and I graduated. And for the next 15 to 20 years, I really had a very satisfying career. That was really my niche. The whole issue around the whole child, observation of the child and going with what it is that they are interested in really appealed to me.
So did you write your children's stories while you were teaching?
Toward the end of my career, As I got older, I actually had to leave because of a medical condition, unfortunately, but I left and I started to write children's stories. So no, I've never read any of the stories to the children, but I have written a few. And again, you know, that lack of self-confidence kind of stays with you throughout your life. So I always felt it's not good enough to read. But I feel a little differently now since joining the poetry group. I've had a chance to read my poetry in Coburg, which has boosted my confidence. My writing is starting to develop, and it's something that I also enjoy.
What first drew you to poetry? Like, who were your favorite poets, or, you know, what made you turn that corner?
Some of my favorite poets actually were, I've always been interested in Shakespeare, of course. That was something that I've always enjoyed, and even took my children to see Shakespeare in the Park so that they understood it as well. And Emily Dickinson was always one of my favorites. And since then, of course, William Blake and Ralph Waldo Emerson, Maya Angelou, and of course, I can't leave out Eric Winter, because when I joined the group, he was just such a wonderful man. We all miss him. And his poetry is so beautiful. It really inspired me to do better. So those are some of the people, and also sometimes spiritual poetry, such as Rumi. That inspires me in other ways, too.
Well, perhaps you would read us some of your poems and, you know, tell us, you know, what inspired them.
Yes. Well, actually, I have written some poems for children, and the one poem I'm going to read you is actually, it is a rhyming poem because it is for children. So I'm going to read you this one. Little cloud. Little cloud floated in the clear blue sky. Below him, children played in the warm sunshine, wearing their yellow dandelion crowns and Superman capes or pretend princess gowns. Their joyous laughter rang through crystal air as they chased one another with wind-tossed hair. It made Little Cloud smile at their carefree play. So he lingered a while, but he could not stay. A gentle breeze coaxed him slowly to drift as he caught an air current which helped him to lift. He felt rather lonely, searched for a new friend. Perhaps there's a party that he could attend. It wasn't too long when he saw a lone cloud. He was bigger and stronger and seemed rather proud. But he came up beside him and asked him quite bold, "There's a gathering of clouds somewhere, I've been told. Could you perhaps tell me which direction to go? And are they above me or are they below?" The bigger cloud laughed at his innocent query. It made Little Cloud blush and he began to get angry. "Now listen, my little friend, don't get upset. I will not harm you. I am no threat. You'll find what you're looking for westward and lower. Be careful when you suddenly feel it get colder. That's where you'll find a large black gathering of clouds. You'll know that they're close by when the noise gets quite loud." The little cloud thanked him and hitched on to a breeze. He soon felt a chill and thought he would freeze. He noticed a group of dark clouds gathering and thought that the noise was becoming alarming. He watched as they rumbled and grumbled and grew. Soon thunder and lightning filled the sky that was once blue. The angry clouds made such a racket and noise, the children ran indoors with their capes and their toys. Then Little Cloud knew that he wanted no part. He just couldn't join them. It was not in his heart. He learned a new lesson that horrible day, that his life was quite happy and he'd be okay. Being true to oneself was the best thing to do. And accept who you are, was his new point of view.
That was sweet. Do you have another poem for us?
I have several more here. The autumn apple tree. The apple across the road mocked our efforts to copy its prodigious growth, its swollen cheeks, glowing healthy with autumn reds. We glared at it with envious greed, contemplated twisting it away from its well-endowed collective and sink our teeth into its flesh. It must have sensed our devious plot as it discreetly turned its ripe, plump face toward the sun, a calculated mistake on its part, for at that moment we could only watch as the thief arrived with a bouncy spring, deftly grabbed the juicy fruit, held it firmly within its jowls. It sat presumptuously upon the fence, its furry tail twitching nervously, turned and looked us in the eye, then quickly made its getaway.
Well, thank you, Marion. We've been talking with Marion Fusel during Poetry Month, and now we'll take a short break.